You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Very special day today. We got Mad Planets from Stony Brook, Long Island. I hope that's right. how are you doing?
None of us are actually there now.
Okay. I guess how are you?
Good. We are well.
That's great to hear.
Cold. It's winter here.
Yeah.
that's funny. Yeah. It's actually summer in New Zealand right now.
It is. It's upside down. Like, how hot out is it?
It's cold. It's actually, it looks like it's going to rain.
Okay.
Better than snow.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, thanks for joining me this morning. That means a lot. I'm really into your music. but I won't flatter you too much. So I guess I'll start with how did the band like form? When did you start? How did you get together? What were your influences? Can you get into that for me?
I'm gonna let you guys.
that's a lot of questions in one.
It was the late 1900s.
Yeah. It actually was. It was the end of the 20th century.
Yeah, I guess John and I were friends, and we both ended up going to Stony Brook University together. We had been in a band earlier that was, you know, just kind of silly, but fun. And, you know, we had a bunch of shows and I guess got our chops down more or less. I don't know, a little bit. we became friends with a bunch of cool people at Stony Brook and ended up meeting Tara, who started going there. And John put an ad out looking to start a new band. And I guess Tara and I signed up, right? Is that about? Yeah. We all like the same stuff. And
Still have the actual flyer.
Yeah, you do, which is impressive.
I have the actual physical flyer, which is now about 30 years old. And I recounted this story on like a different, on a podcast, and I was incorrect. I said that your flyer, John, was asking that your influences, it was like Swirlies, Cocteau Twins, Poster Children, and my favorite, which are friends of ours, but it was actually Binzi Poplars.
Which was also friends of ours.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that was one of the things that Binzi Poplars was a band that a now fairly famous person is in. Jim Kirk Douglas, who was a friend of mine, actually my first love from high school. And he is now the guitarist in The Roots, like the band that plays on Jimmy Fallon all the time. But in the 90s, he's going to kill me for talking about this. In the 90s, he was in an ethereal, very Cocteau Twinsy band called Binzi Poplars. And so that I think all of, you know, 10 people knew about. So when I saw this ad, John was one of them, and it said Binzi Poplars, I was like, to answer this ad, because it is targeting me in a way that was unbelievable.
If I remember correctly, that ad didn't it have just a block of bands, it was probably about 25, 30 bands. I remember, I don't even think I put spaces between the
names.
There's just, yeah, it was a million bands, so I had to hit something.
Yeah, but that felt so obscure and random. So, yeah, you
but
did
I
have
had
to
met,
hit something.
But I had met Tara before at a party at Todd's house. And you were introduced to me by Kirk, I believe.
Okay.
And then I remember you transferred schools to Stony Brook without any of us knowing. And I saw you at the union, was like, what are you doing here?
That is the famous line.
Yeah.
So basically, the stage of life you're in, because you're doing a college radio show, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Right. I mean, this is where we were at. And yeah. We were all just like late in our late teens, early 20s, whatever, and had overlapping friend groups and drama, and we were all really into music, and some of our paths had crossed, and And yes, the famous line when I finally started attending Stony Brook was, "What are you doing here?" And then that kind of launched the trio in at least as a friendship, and then it moved into music.
Did you see the ad? Did you see the ad before I bumped into you that day, or was it after that?
Gosh, I don't even know. I mean, I have an insane memory, and I keep a lot of stuff, but I don't remember the exact sequence. John, do you?
No, but I think Dahl's learning that we're finding out the answer to these questions in real time.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't really talked in real time for a while, so you're going to get some of that.
Oh, awesome. So something else I wanted to bring up was, what do you think of the sort of like the sudden traction Mad Planets has gained amongst younger people? Specifically, I got in quotation marks here, Gen Z. but are you like, what do you think about that? Like, was it quite like random?
Oh yeah.
I wish I could say that we always knew we were ahead of our time and it's just caught up, but I don't think that's the case.
No, that's Big Star.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is obviously, a tad surreal. But, you know, there's certainly something to be said to, you know, things in culture happening cyclically, and it just aligns that, you know, you get a band like Julie that is, you know, and the zeitgeist is into now, and that the influences, I mean, there was, I won't say there was nothing special about us, but we were certainly, you know, influenced by peers. So there was a scene of people playing music like we were at the time. And it's just, I think it's a combination of being, in the right place at the right time as this revival, as it were, has come back.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, COVID. It was all COVID. Everyone was just spent too much time in their hands. I mean, I've spoken about this before. I mean, I think it's amazing, and I'm remembering now, like when it was about 3 or 4 years ago that we just started getting little trickles of feedback, right? From, I don't know, through social media, or I would see something on like Last FM or something. I'd be like, someone's listening to us. I mean, I think that the best part of it for me and has been, because I've been pretty hands-on with the Instagram account, which is where we have the most contact with people, is just seeing how creative and driven the younger Gen Z is. It's like a very give and take scenario. There's a lot of musicians listening. And I mean, the other things that I hear, and it doesn't surprise me in regards to this, is that when people talk about the quality of the recording, right, that even though we were trying really hard, I think, to make it sound as good as it could, people seem to appreciate that it sounds like rough and authentic, like it was done in a garage, right? There's no pretensions about it, and there's no polish. I mean, it's all, you know, analog recorded. So I also do think that there's something about the kind of sonic quality combined with the songs and the playing that might also just be registering with some people who are just really hungry for what we've been calling, I think, in our culture, like authenticity, of one kind or another. I don't know. What do you guys, that's some of the feedback that I've heard.
Well, yeah, lo-fi is a big thing these days, and we actually did it on a 4-track in the basement. You know, the first half of the CD or whatever is all on a 4-track cassette in the basement.
Yeah. Like, we literally shook a box of pasta to make like a percussive sound. I think it's great. And I think it also makes sense. You know, it's like, I think we all got a lot of distance from this material. And then you look back on it, and collectively, these songs are, about like growing pains and growing up and teen angst and feeling like an outsider, feeling out of place, wanting things that you can't even name. And I think, you know, it's only with like stepping away, I look back on them and I'm like, oh, I understand how those are perennial questions, as particularly for a certain stage of life. And like John was saying, and you know, that things cycle back. So yeah, teen angst never dies.
Love to hear that.
Doesn't necessarily go away either.
No, it doesn't. I mean, how long ago was this? This feels like yesterday.
That's crazy, because like, I think the music makes me think of you compilation. It came out in 99, if I'm correct. I was born in 2002, so you guys made that before I was born.
Are you trying to hurt us?
No, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
Because I mean, like, I don't. The last recording we did was what, 97?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yes. So the last recording was 97, even. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You exist post Mad Planets. And you know, I've also tried to think about this experience. I don't know if you guys have done this like thought experiment where I'm like, okay, when I was in the 90s, I did listen to bands from the 60s. Mm. This is the equivalent of like, no, it is though, of like rediscovering garage rock or even the Beatles or a lot of the girl groups. And I mean, I'm thinking a little bit, yeah, just about that, like, what is it to be in that mentality also of, like, being of a certain generation and going back and embracing something that came before or identifying with it, but not even in a nostalgic way, necessarily. Because you didn't live it. You weren't even alive.
Right, yeah. Are we seen as a nostalgia band?
Yeah, are we a nostalgia band?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
That's right.
You're much more than that.
Yeah, can we ask you, like, why are you into Mad Planets?
Why am I into Mad Planets? I love.
What's your favorite song?
What's my favorite song? I think your version of Cool is my favorite song. I just love the combination of like you have real like great melodies, I think, like great vocal melodies, and like I just love the instrumentation, the drums. I love everything about it. Like it's just the sort of genre of music I just really like. Like I'm really into like bands like the Breeders and Pixies and stuff, and just hearing your band,
yeah,
just made me go, oh, this band's awesome.
I'm pretty sure the Breeders were on the ad that I posted.
Okay. Yes, they were.
Yep.
Yeah, Breeders. I mean, you asked about influences, and like, I'm one of those people, and I mean, I think, rest in peace, Kurt Cobain would probably agree with this. Well, no, I think that is a more important. This is such a Gen X conversation. Like the Breeders' Pod is just a more important album than, oh my God, I'm going to get killed for this. Then never mind. I stand by it. But yes, so you mentioned like Kim Deal and the Breeders. I mean, I think we all listen to them and the Pixies. And well, what do you like about them? I'm a teacher, so I'm going to keep asking you questions.
Oh, no, I'm being interviewed by Mad Planets.
You are.
Yeah. You reached out to us for an interview, so here it comes.
Yeah, here it comes. Get ready. We're greeting you.
What's the question? Why do I like the Breeders? That's hard. I don't know. I got into them when I was, I think it was like 17 or 16 when I got into them. Mm-hmm. And I think it was more like, I was really into Nirvana as,
yeah,
that's what introduced me into alternative music. And,
really?
That's what got me into the Pixies and stuff. And I really liked Kim Deal quite a bit, because I liked the way she backed up, the way her voice blended with, Black Francis, or, I just really liked that. And I couldn't really figure out at the time why I liked it, but like, it just kind of like, I was just like, man, what else is she doing? I found the Breeders, and I was like, as someone who's kind of, is quite feminine, I kind of identify with that more than I do with most of, I guess, the 90s. There's a lot of bands fronted by guys I didn't, like, connect with so much.
Yep.
So, like...
just say it. Eddie Vedder. Eddie Vedder.
Oh, yeah, I don't like Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think the gender question is really interesting because I think that was a big deal. I mean, we were part of a queercore scene, and I think growing up in the 80s, my sense of gender was incredibly fluid based on even new wave and popular music, and then the Riot Girl scene. So I think it's really interesting to have that question of gender come up in terms of what is resonating for a listener. And you can be saying, like, I never felt like our band was like super macho. You never like crashed your guitar, did you, Eric?
No, it's worth too much money.
Right.
I don't think we could be macho if we tried.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we were definitely like, you know, girl power.
It'd be an interesting question to, again, about that block of influences. How many of them are female fronted? Because I'm pretty sure that, like, you know, Darling Buds, Lush was in there. Probably
You're throwing even, muses.
Yeah, I probably would put a Mary's Danish in there.
Mm-hmm. Belly.
Yeah. Probably most of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
But yeah, I think we all, in our own way, were like also looking for something gender expressively that was just not like, hi, here comes the patriarchy and heteronormativity, right? I mean, I don't think we were the most out there, but there was definitely a sense of trying not to replicate certain systems and roles.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
That's right.
Punk rock.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. I'm going to wrap it up shortly, but I'm going to
ask one more question. Oh my God, this can't question. Be it. It's so weird.
I tried prepping with heaps of questions because I freaked out a little bit. but I'm going to ask one more.
Oh, great job.
Thank you so heaps much. Of questions.
Yeah, just ask them and we'll be better. We'll behave.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. No, thank you so much for like going and to death about stuff. Like I've really appreciated this. I've appreciated you coming on. I hate to be that person, but your band does mean something to me quite a lot.
Good.
So thanks a lot for coming on. But I'm gonna ask a few more. Some are not music related. But yeah, I guess a quick lightning round. Are you fans of anime? And if so, which anime are you into the most?
I never was, but the connection that we ended up with Neon Genesis Evangelion has changed my life. Like, I am now one of those people. So, I wasn't before. And I am slowly working my way down a rabbit hole. But I wasn't before this, but am now.
I've watched things like I guess older things, like Cowboy Bebop, I really like. And I did watch Evangelion, certain things like that, but not, I don't know, not, I should probably get into it more, but I think I'm afraid to, because it's a hole, like, that I wouldn't be able to dig myself out of, and I have a lot of holes already.
The scariest thing is that, like I said, I wasn't before, but am now, and I'm about 4 weeks away from a trip to Tokyo, where I am afraid of the purchases I'm going to be making while I'm there.
God, Sean. So for me, so I'm not really that into it. I just really love Blue Girl.
Yeah, that must be where I got the idea for that question from, I think.
Yeah.
I think I just assumed that you were all big anime people. Yeah, this was one I was going to ask, but it kind of got answered before we started the interview. But are you big big animal people? have you got many pets?
But all of our cats, yes, too many cats.
Too many cats.
I have three cats inside and several that I feed outside.
Same.
Yeah.
Two tuxedo cats. So I think, I mean, I'm pretty proud to say we are cat people.
Yeah.
Right? We are not dog people.
No, we are putting out the fire with gasoline.
Yeah. Cat people all the way.
Love to hear David Bowie mentioned.
Glad you got it.
I guess I'm going to ask one more. Sort of how did the pressing of Music Makes Me Think of You with Daydream Records, like, how did that come to fruition? Was there quite like a lot of, did you have quite a lot of people asking to release stuff on vinyl or for a while? Or what's the story?
This whole thing is really like in stance and no, I mean, Sergio just reached out and said, hey, if you ever want to do this, let me know. And then I think I was on Long Island for the holidays, probably ran it past you guys, and then I was like, I think I called him and I was like, okay, who are you, where are you? And no, he was the only one. I mean, we did stuff when we were active in the 90s, but nobody was knocking down our door. It was a tricky process because we didn't have all the material in one place. We didn't even know at first if it was going to have to be like a double album or if it could all be on one thing. So no, Sergio was great. Daydream was great. And you know, we just released it on cassette and through, I don't know how to say this, Gizmoi in France, but I think they're friends of Daydream. So no, nobody's knocking down our door. Like, please do.
Wait, was it recent talk of a CD re-release, or am I imagining? Okay.
No, that is legit. I mean, we get a lot of people asking for the record on CD, which it was how it was. It's so funny because it was originally released on CD. And so I'm actually supposed to talk to Sergio this weekend about seeing if we want to do that, release it on CD. So we can try to chat before then, or at least...
Stand by for
more. What's that?
I said, stand by for more Mad Planets release.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
What's that?
You heard it here.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Like, literally.
I found some of these original Learn to Say Goodnight
cassette inserts. Oh.
Yeah, cassette inserts.
That's awesome.
Yeah, all folded up.
Oh, that is so cool.
Maybe we'll have some of those available.
Oh,
that'd be amazing.
I'd love one. Anyway,
send your address.
Sure. Anyway, yeah, we've been talking for a while. I wish I could keep talking to you. You're all lovely people.
You can call us later.
You can call us again.
Yeah, seriously, we're not doing much.
I'd love to chat again another time for sure. But thank you so much for coming on. It means so much to me. And I hope, I hope you have a lovely rest of your, well, night, rather. It's night over there.
Yes.
But... Yeah, for anyone who's listening, check out Mad Planets on, I want to say, check them out on Bandcamp, because that's I think it's the best way to support them. And there's some merch on there, etc. I think you guys, when I looked last night, you still have some t-shirts on there, so am I right?
Yeah, the t-shirts are on, like, they're through a different thing called Printify, but yeah, you can find all the links there. I just want to say thank you. I mean... Yes. I know we've been like very like giddy and whatever, but it means everything to me that the songs, I said this on another interview, are reaching people and that they mean something to a new generation. Like it's really like just a tremendous sense of like connection and satisfaction. And so I am really grateful to this generation for both listening and also reaching out and letting us know, because it means a lot to me and I think to us. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, what Tara said.
Thank you so much. Once again, and what you just said, that was beautiful.
Right.
Cool. I hope you'll have a lovely rest of your night. Thank you so much for joining. I'm going to have to end the call now, but...
Hey, great.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, you too.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That was it. We're going to play a track by Mad Planets now. This is off of the compilation we talked about. This is your version of Cool on Radio 1.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.